This is WBUR's All Things Considered. I'm Lisa Mullins. One of the cities in Massachusetts that's been ravaged by opioid abuse is New Bedford. More than 1,600 people have overdosed there in the past 3.5 years. More than 100 of them have died. The numbers are overwhelming, but some people in New Bedford's civic life have joined forces to try to get a grip on the crisis, one person at a time. The group goes out in teams. There's always a police officer, a member of the clergy, and some type of drug counselor. Many of the team members grew up in New Bedford. They go to the homes of individuals who've recently survived an overdose and knock on the door unannounced. On a recent rainy afternoon, they let us come along.
We have two additional addresses that were given to us, which would be new addresses, first visits.
The opioid outreach team gathers outside the New Bedford police headquarters. The police officer on today's team is Lieutenant Arthur Hegarty. He's not in uniform, just in khakis, a casual shirt, and a fleece vest. He has a clipboard with the names and addresses of seven people the team's going to try to visit. Most of the addresses come from 911 calls reporting an overdose.
Next will be County Street. Fallen County, we'll go to Conduit.
The goal isn't to arrest anyone. The team wants to talk, to engage, to try to steer someone away from a fatal overdose.
It's all about trying to connect with them, build that relationship, build a trust.
Reverend David Lima heads the Interchurch Council of Greater New Bedford. He and the police started the opioid outreach program more than 2 years ago. Their goal for the people they visit is the same.
The best outcome, the ultimate, would be to get them into treatment beds, being able to get them to a place where they'd be able to get the help they need long term.
So the hope is high. The expectation is modest. The team members head out in an unmarked police car. They say they don't want to raise fear or shame for anybody struggling with addiction. The first stop is at the home of a man who did not recently overdose. His family asked the outreach workers to come. The team knocks on the door, and we wait behind with Reverend Lima. Lima tells us the first challenge is just to get inside.
Once you get in the house, the team really works well in being able to help people understand that it's about caring.
Many communities have opioid outreach programs. What sets this one apart is that a member of the clergy goes on every ride. This time, there are two, including Reverend Lima. They say they don't proselytize, but they look for chances to connect with someone through faith. Lima says if he sees a Bible in somebody's home, he might ask if the person abusing drugs is part of a church.
You find many times that they may have been, but because their use is up, the shame and stigma, the guilt of being before God while I'm in sin, they have separated themselves. We try to help connect them again.
By doing what?
By telling them, look, did these people care for you when you were there? Well, yeah, they were always worried about me. I says, well, I'm betting they still do.
As we talk, the team members are invited into the first house. They come out after about 15 minutes. The counselor in tonight's team is Connie Mimoso from Seven Hills Behavioral Health.
Basically, we engage with a family member. The party we were looking for stayed away from us.
But he or she was there?
Mm-hmm. Downstairs in the basement. And she disclosed that he has heavy mental illnesses and that he's living in the basement. He only comes up now to eat. That's it. So a lot of times we have to engage with the family in order to begin to break some of those barriers.
So by that standard, it was a successful visit. At the second stop, the woman they want to speak with is sleeping. Her boyfriend tells them that she's doing well and getting help. The team has no way to know whether that's true. Next, they head off to find a woman they've talked to before.
Middle-aged female indicated that she was open to a follow-up checkup.
Lieutenant Hegarty stops the car across the street from an apartment in a multi-family house. It's a middle-class neighborhood. A slender woman in jeans and flip-flops is outside on the sidewalk. She takes one look at the unmarked car and then darts toward the apartment's side door, but it's locked. She thought she was going to get arrested, she later tells us. But she turns around and recognizes one member of the outreach team. It's 44-year-old pastor Jamie Casey. He calls her by name, Tennille, and they start to talk. After a couple of minutes, the pastor turns to us.
Tennille was just telling us that she's actually ready for detox. So she's ready.
Those words are like gold. Someone's deciding to get clean. The outreach team doesn't waste a second.
Or do you need somebody to come and pick you up?
I would need transportation.
Okay, so if I have someone here for 9 a.m., you'll be
Tenille Pina is 40 years old, a mother of four. Her children don't live with her, though. Her brother does live there, but she wants him out because he's addicted, too. Just then, the skies open up. We all huddle under umbrellas, and she tells us her story.
How long have you been using?
15 years.
How come you're ready now?
I don't know how to explain it. It's harder. Like they say, the runs get shorter. And it's harder to find dope around here these days, too. A lot of fentanyl going around.
Have you tried to get free before?
Absolutely.
How many times?
A lot of times.
Going through withdrawal can be wretched. By the way, when Pina says the runs are shorter, she means the heroin highs don't last as long as they used to. And then there's the fentanyl, the more powerful opioid that's often mixed with heroin these days that causes most of the overdoses.
I've said it a bunch of times, I just want to shake it. I want to shake it. It's a very hard habit to shake. My kid's father told me when I first started messing with it, he said, "You're in for a ride till the wheels fall off."
As we leave, Pina asks if anybody on the team is recovering from addiction. Pastor Jamie Casey answers yes, 8 years clean.
You made my day.
The two have another connection, Casey says. Pina mentioned her faith to him.
She said, "I believe in God. I believe God is good." And I said, "I believe he just showed up and proved that to you, you know."
These anti-opioid teams head out three nights a week. In 2 years, they've made more than 900 of these stops. Organizers say nobody's expressed privacy concerns over the team showing up unannounced, even though in a few cases, family members were not aware there had been an overdose until the team showed up at the door. At one of the apartments the group visits this night, there's a young man who recently overdosed at his father's gravesite. He had a gun in his car at the time, legally. The team is concerned that he could use the weapon, that he could be suicidal. The man answers the door, says he's all set, and that he doesn't want any help. At another home, a much different response.
I have two sons, bro.
Lucinda Pereira is concerned about her two sons addicted to heroin. One of them has overdosed repeatedly.
Does he want to get well? When you talk to him, does he say he wants treatment? Does he want to get away from the drugs?
Yes, he do.
Yeah.
Cuando él no tiene dinero.
That son lives with her. She doesn't know where he is, though, right now.
Give him our cards. Tell him we're back again. We're going to keep coming back until we see him.
Okay. I mean, right. He might come home maybe around 1 o'clock or 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know. Sometimes I want to leave him out, but sometimes I say, "God, so I leave him out. How about something happened to him or he done something bad?"
Yeah.
So I open the door. He comes in. He eats. He takes a shower. He sleeps.
You know, there's some things that you can do, too, for yourself, because this is a lot on you. So
it is a lot.
If you call Connie over at Seven Hills, they can give you some support services.
The team finds out Pereira doesn't have the overdose reversal drug Narcan. She invites us inside where Connie Mimoso trains her on how to use Narcan and leaves her two doses. Pereira says she'd do anything to see her kids get off opioids.
Well, I think I'll be the happiest mother in the world. Goes for me and goes for all the mothers who suffer, because a lot of mothers suffer of this.
Yeah,
you know? I don't just pray for me, I pray for the people, because a lot of people is deal with these things just like I am, you know? No matter how good you raise your children.
We have this postscript to our story. The conversation with Lucinda Pereira paid off. The next day, her son contacted Pastor Jamie Casey and went into detox. Also that day, Tenille Pina, the woman we talked to in the rain, didn't wait to be picked up. She walked to Casey's office, and he helped her get into detox, too. Outreach organizers say almost 15% of the people they visited in the last year and a half went into detox, or at least took a referral. About 40% more sought some kind of support services or outpatient care. One sign of hope in New Bedford, the number of opioid overdoses has declined 13% this year from the same period last year. On our website, WBUR.org, you'll find photos of the outreach team at work. And Pastor Jamie Casey shares his story of his own 20-year struggle with addiction.